Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's End live on WTBQ. As you already know, you can find us live on 93.5 FM, 1110 AM, WTBQ.com, where last week we were heard by our soldiers in Afghanistan. And as always, you can listen to the replay on the Davin's End Facebook page. If you have not already, please feel free to go there and click like. As always, feel free to call us at 845-651-1110 or instant message us on our Facebook page. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt, and I am joined by the, as usual, the perpetually fetching about traffic, Joe Curry.
Yes, it was all right today.
Yeah, they cleared the way.
Wasn't that bad. They cleared the way for me.
As well they should.
Yes, they should.
And working the board this evening, sans the transition that our show usually goes through, the iron horse of WTBQ, Rich.
Rich, in command, at the board.
At the board, manning the helm.
Things.
Now, Joe, we got a big show tonight.
Yes, we most certainly do.
We have, later on, we'll be discussing the latest Britney Spears news, which I know everybody's on the edge of their seat
hanging
for.
Hanging on the edge of the seats, just waiting.
But the thing about these, the thing about this story is the allegations are so outrageous and disgusting that we really couldn't let them slide. I might actually stick up for Britney on this story. But before we get to the Britney mayhem, we're going to be joined by a man with three Comedy Central specials, a starring role in the feature films Definitely Maybe and Paul Blart Mall Cop, and he currently stars in the final season of FX's hit show Rescue Me, and is now filming the second season of the American version of Top Gear for the History Channel, the multi-talented Adam Ferrara.
That's right.
Hey, Adam,
how
you there?
How are you, fellas? You there?
We're there.
Dino's back. Hi, pal.
Hey, how are you, pal?
Good.
Well, people should probably know that you guys know each other. Joe grew up with Adam.
Yes, he's been my friend way before comedy.
And I actually worked with Adam once before. Adam doesn't realize this. He opened for me at Stand Up New York. And by opened, it was like an evening show, and he just had a slot earlier than me.
That's right. Yes.
But I watch Adam live there, and I've seen his specials, and he's hilarious. I remember the night when Adam was working. He came in, like, you know, because this is years ago, but even then, 10 years ago, very established, top-notch guy. Everybody knows who Adam is. And Adam, he had a list of stuff he wanted to work on, and as usual, the audience were a bunch of derelicts, and they wouldn't let him do it. And, you know, Adam, he just did a great job of riffing. So you're a great comic.
Thank you. I appreciate that from a fellow soldier. But you know those nights when you come in to work on something and you're looking at them and you're like, all right, this ain't going to work.
That's exactly what happened. For a couple of minutes, you're like, I want to work on this stuff. And you were sitting on a bar stool on the Stand Up New York stage. But then, you know, being the vet that you are, you like realize, okay, you're going to have to entertain these drunks. And you just did a great job, as always.
Plan B.
It's the same feeling for me, like, you know when you go to your aunt's house for Thanksgiving, you're like, all right, look, this year's going to be different. We're all going to get along. And then you're there for about 5 minutes, you realize, all right, this ain't going to work.
Start the drinking. We got to get through
Where's
this.
Where's the scotch?
You're going to drink and watch the football game.
Yeah, the quicker we eat, the quicker I get to pass out on the couch.
Nice. So, Adam, I got some questions for you. Hard-hitting stuff. I know a little bit about you. I knew you were childhood friends with, of course, our very own Joe Curry, who we love here, and Anthony Cumia from Opie and Anthony. So I got to know, what was the pressure like for you and Anthony growing up with such a comedic luminary as Joe Curry in your midst?
Well, we were actually just a pack of idiots.
We were.
Yeah, there really wasn't any, we had no idea, you know, where our lives were going to take us. We just knew at this moment we were happy. And when I say happy, I mean we had limited goals. We were in a lousy part of Huntington, we used to call it the Honeycomb Hideout, the shack?
Ant's apartment.
The Honeycomb Hideout. But it's like the landlord's coming, get in the wall. I mean,
Anthony told a similar story about the landlord.
We'd be hiding it. I know you guys are in there. Ain't nobody here but us cockroaches. We ain't got no money neither.
That landlord really made an impact on you guys.
Yeah, he did. He scared the hell out of us.
It always, because I always remember the bogeyman in Monster the Wooden Soldiers. I never saw the guy. I just heard landlord, and I'm just like,
get in the wall. So you have to go, landlord, duck, hide, and it turned into Aunt Frank's house. Because we were all hiding.
Oh, no, really? We're the first Nazi joke 2 minutes into the show?
I'm just telling it like it was.
But here's the thing. I remember being in the wall and trying to be quiet and realizing I don't live here.
That's what I was going to ask you. Why were you nervous? They couldn't do anything to you.
Because we lose our playhouse.
I was caught up in my friend's panic. I was like, we're not going down without a fight.
Yeah. We're not paying you anything.
What, you guys manned the battle stations against the
land? Right, we did.
Oh, you guys.
Oh, you know,
funny.
Everything was a military maneuver. We used to barbecue, and we had no barbecue tools. We were flipping steaks with vice grips. Go get me something out of the toolbox and turn this steak over with.
Anthony used to scold you. I'd be there flipping a steak with a screwdriver. What are you doing? Use this wrench.
What's the proper screwdriver to use for that? Is that a Phillips head or a regular?
You would use a flathead.
Depends on the steak.
Yeah. Depends on the cut.
It's a filet mignon. Use the Phillips, for God's sake. Show some respect. So you grew up with these characters, you know. I know Joe, and Anthony's been on our show, and I just know the New York, New Jersey area, everybody's very sarcastic. Do you think that helped you with your ability to have such quick wit and improvisational skills? Because I've seen you do it. You have great, great improvisational skills. Did that help you?
Of course. I mean, being in that environment, I mean, look, a sense of humor was very coveted in the gang we grew up in because we didn't have anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you know, we had money for beer, and then there's nothing on TV. We had to make each other laugh.
Yeah.
So it was a coveted thing to have. And when you're hanging around in that such creative environment, and I mean music as well. I mean, those guys were in the band,
mm-hmm.
My job in the band was to work the lights.
Adam Ferrara, roadie.
Adam.
Yeah.
Adam was a good. And I remember one time I was dating this girl, Dawn, and Adam hated her, and she knew it. And every time she went, "You don't like me." Nope. And she used to drink and fall asleep. She'd collapse and fall drunk on the dance floor. And there she is lying on the dance floor, drunk, just passed out. Adam walks up to me and goes, "She's gorgeous."
And where is Dawn today?
Who knows?
Probably on step 8.
That's funny. You got Rich. Adam, I've never seen Rich, our sound guy.
He never laughs at anything.
No, you just got him to double over. Well played, sir. Well played. See, this is why you're in here with me.
Having those characters to draw from and having that drive to be creative without even knowing it. I mean, without even knowing that we were like kind of hothouse grown and just having this just injected into us. We were just having a good time, and it turned out to be a creative environment that we could use. And just the whole thing, we were thinking of each other, like, okay, we can do this. How can we cash in on this?
Yeah.
So,
no, seriously, how can we cash in on this? Seriously.
I think it was Foot. I'm sorry, it was Joe. He's too fancy now. Big radio guy. You read an article about public access television, I remember once, and we came up with RDTV.
That's right. We had
which was Red Devil Television, because Red Devils was the name of our paintball team.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where the money went, by the way. Yeah, all the money went to playing paintball on Sundays. That's where everything went. So it was Red Devil Television. I borrowed a video camera from my Uncle Vito, and it was those old, you know those old video cameras when you see the clips of John Lennon getting shot?
Yeah.
You know, so we had that, and we would shoot these little things in our grand vision of having a television show.
Yeah, we started
and
with that. Yep.
Anthony did. Anthony was Chef Resin, which was a stoned cook. So he'd be stoned in my house because I had a kitchen. There was no kitchen in the apartment.
It wasn't method acting. He was literally stoned for the television show.
Yes.
So he was doing a stone cooking show, and I had a fireplace in my house. So we put Foot in my old in a suit that we had. I think my father made his confirmation in the suit.
Yeah.
It fit Joe.
It's called Readings Aloud.
Readings aloud, and he would read like AC/DC lyrics and Zeppelin lyrics in this English voice with a fire going.
Yeah.
And he would just say, "Gollum, the evil one, crept up and slipped away with her. And it would be quick little interstitial things. And then, and then we went to the mall, and I would just do interviews with people and just mess with them. And then we got taken into security. We just let the camera run, and there's footage of us in security.
All you hear is security dragging us into the security thing, and you just hear Anthony go, "How's this going to end?"
Well, you can't be messing with the fine folks at the Chess King. You guys should know better than that. They're just trying to buy some Z Cavaricis. Come on now, fellas.
We blew the lid off that Orange Julius skin. It's Sunny Delight in a blender.
And then what we had, we went to the beach. Adam and I dressed in suits, and it was when there was a big, a lot of medical waste was washing up at the beach. So we go up to like these families, and there was like this big like soccer mom, and we pulled out. Do you know this washed on the beach? We pulled out like a syringe, and then we go. Do you know this washed on the beach? We pulled out like a gauze, and then we go. Do you know that this actually came up? And then we found something at the adult shop that we pulled out. And she,
oh my God.
What do you think?
Yeah, pull out a severed limb.
Yeah.
Goodness. Look, they're not all golden, okay?
Yeah, that was fine. No, back to the questions. We've gone off track. Back to the questions. Well, you mentioned your Uncle Vito. I know you're Italian and everything. And what I've always admired about you, Adam, is because a lot of the New York, New Jersey comedians that are Italian, they all have this very tough, strong, tough guy persona. A lot of them do on stage. And I've always found your persona a little bit more vulnerable on stage. Was that a conscious decision, or is that just how you evolved and who you are?
No, I think it comes from a non-childhood of steroid use. I made the choice not to juice, so I figured... I figured I'd like to have arms I can use to wipe myself. I think that would be good.
He's seen the same Italian comics we have.
Who I am, it's pretty much who I am with the volume turned up. You know, I was never those guys, but I grew up around those guys, and I think my persona really wasn't a conscious choice. It was just who I am. I was more interested in what I was saying and how I was saying it.
Right.
And comedy for me was a way of fitting in and somewhat of a defense mechanism on the school bus, because I grew up with all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you can make them laugh, you're like, all right, I guess they won't eat me.
Well, I mean, you know the guys I'm talking about. They all scream and everything, and I've never found you to be a screamer when I'm watching you perform.
No, yeah, there's definitely a style that is an East Coast,
yes,
Jersey, Long Island, more of a suburb than a city style.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there's definitely, yeah, there is that kind of indignant, and this is what I think, and how everyone should think this, so if I yell it loud enough, we can start a mob.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. When did you realize you could make a living as a professional comic?
This is just probably the longest phase. I'm still waiting for the bottom to fall out.
Oh, I hope not.
You know, every comic has the same thing. As soon as you get some money, buy the house, pay it off, they can't take it from you. You know, everything is just...
Now, we, it is beaten into us to expect something bad to happen as soon as something good happens. It is officially
does. Part of it is growing up in New York, and part of it is growing up on the East Coast. There's a definite sarcastic, cynical view of things, and it's nurture, too. It's nature and nurture. I mean, where I grew up, in my house, the glass wasn't half full. It was half empty. There's stuff floating in the water, and it's your fault. You know?
That's funny.
You know, you try to be positive, and I delude myself to go, I'm just being realistic. No, I'm looking for how they can get me, you know? It's like, when we look to buy the house, I'm like, I need a place I can put snipers. You know, I schools are good.
Is that for the landlord again?
I gotta put the snipers. It's definitely a defense. It's a defense. A defense mechanism.
Right.
Where it started from.
So it's not just me and Joe. All of us are paranoid. Then we're all expecting it to end.
Well, yeah. Look at the world we live in. For God.
Rather not.
America might go out of business. Oh, put on a happy face.
Everything must go, but first a yacht.
We gotta hide from China because they're gonna be looking for money.
Yeah, China was here. They visited Obama. They were here.
Yeah.
They were looking around. Look, when they default, we cut off Florida. It screws up the feng shui. I mean, they're looking for everything.
This just in, Adam Ferrara knows what feng shui is. Yeah. And is not a fan of dim sum, apparently.
No.
Now, at this point, I mean, you're known as a comic. You've had the three Comedy Central specials. You've been a headlining comic forever. But you've had a ton of acting stuff. What do you, which do you enjoy more at this point, the acting or the stand-up?
I'm fortunate where I get I've been afforded the opportunity to do both.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to getting, like, I haven't been on tour, I'm going to say, in 2 years.
Wow, lucky bastard.
Yeah, we were doing, well, two and a half, actually. When I started doing, I joined Rescue Me at the end of season three, and you were at season seven. So in the off season, I would go out, and I wrote my third special then, and we shot that. So I was doing both. And then I started doing Top Gear. So I was doing for the last season of Rescue Me, the first season of Top Gear. And then Dennis, Lenny and I did the Rescue Me comedy tour. And that was the only time I was doing stand-up. So it was just, it's a time thing.
Did you lose a little bit off your fastball? Because I know if I don't do it for a week, you know, I'm forgetting the jokes I wrote. And you're talking about being off for a long time. Was it odd?
Yeah, I was. It's like, you know what, I flapped my head. I'm just a pain in the ass to be around. Instead of this charming guest you have on your radio program. But it's like Alex, my girl, telling me, go do stand-up. Go get out of here, you know, because you know Saturday night, you're not working on a Saturday night. You're twitching.
It's,
you know?
Weird. Like, it's very weird.
Oh, it's nuts. It's like I walk.
But as far as losing my fastball, I always make it a point to, like, look, I got to get on stage at least once before, mm-hmm. you know, before I got to go do, you know, a tour stop. So just to get it back.
Mm-hmm. So,
but yeah, you're definitely rusty if you're away from it. It's like anything else.
You lose your timing and everything. Yeah.
I forget the jokes that I wrote, which is just an embarrassing thing.
Well. You know what I hate? It's like, I hate when a joke goes away mm-hmm. and you're not doing anything different. It's like you'll do something, you get to laugh, and all of a sudden the laugh isn't there.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
And you go back and you listen to your tapes, and you're like, nope, I'm not doing anything different. It's the same thing.
Oh, that's maddening. Yes, it's maddening. You get one of those, there's three nights like that out of the year that you just don't know what happened.
And sometimes they come back and sometimes they don't, but I heard a great, and I forget the actor's name, but there was a... There was a great analogy from the theater, and again, I'm blanking on his name, but it kind of fit the situation. Guy would ask for the tea, and he would get a big laugh on the tea mm-hmm. every time he used the line, please pass the tea. Mm-hmm. And the director, the joke stopped working, you know, for a week. And he went up to the director, and he said, what am I doing different? He goes, you're not asking for the tea, you're asking for the laugh.
Ah.
So his delivery is... It was in his head. He was expecting the laugh, and it wasn't there. If you just ask for the tea, you'll get the laugh.
So it's like if you act like you're kind of, if you believe, if you're truly surprised every time you get the laugh, it shouldn't go away. Is that what that message
is? Well, if you're in the moment while you're delivering things, which is the coveted place to be,
sure.
Then the laughs will be there. But every time we go, okay, this is going to work, I'll get this laugh. You know, when you drift away and you said, like, you'll be doing your two jokes ahead, going, okay, I can take them into this bit.
Right.
Or the checks are going to fall. Wait a minute, that waitress stood up. I got to cross stage to bring focus away. You know, when you're director in the back of your head's going.
Right, yes.
I mean, when I'm telling a joke, I'm thinking about everything else but the joke a lot of times. And that's a problem. You're right.
That's why I like improv so much, because you can't think of anything else.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Hey, Adam, who was the first person you called when you found out you got the part of Stan on Love Boat, the next wave?
I called Joe Curry and said, don't make fun of me, I need dental.
And then I called Anthony, and he's like, he's doing what? Get him on speaker.
I had a
How could
in.
You throw away that Olive Garden career on this?
I forgot about
they
used to kill you on ONA for those commercials. I forgot about that. You know what, Adam? Screw them. Those were damn good commercials, and Olive Garden hasn't had the same breadsticks and salad since you left, my friend.
You know what was funny about that? It's like I didn't want to do it, and part of the reason was, you know, I said it was because, you know, I'm an artist. The other part was, I am never going to hear the end of it.
No, go on.
I spoke to my father. I asked my father about it, mm-hmm. and I gave him the whole artist riff. And I go, you know, Pop, they're offering this to me, but I don't know if I want to do this. You know, I'm an artist. You say, you want to be an artist? Go rent a loft and be misunderstood. You need to
eat. Your dad's right, man. You got to eat, you know?
Yeah.
His father, God rest his soul, he had such a... He straightened Adam out. I remember when Adam... The first time Adam was working in Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm.
And we all go down there to go see him. And we go, Mr. Ferraro, what hotel is Adam staying in? He goes, they don't put the help in the hotel.
Oh.
That's too funny.
So you had to commute back every night from Long Island, is what you're saying.
Yeah, no, they put us in this little condo that they had, which was really nice. You just got to cut the police tape and walk in.
Had the bed that came out of the wall. I remember that.
Yeah. It was a Murphy bed that came out of the wall, and I wasn't heavy enough to keep it down.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Which club was this?
It was this Comedy Stop at the Trop.
That's where they put you up?
They put you up at that little condominium next door.
Oh, yeah. Shame on them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know, the last person to stay in that room was the diving horse.
They found him with his hooves caught in the bed.
Yeah, well, the diving board is big.
But it was all those guys came down. Anthony came down. Joe came down. Joe Curry came down. And I said, all right, fellas, we're in. I'm going to feed you, too. And they gave us tickets to eat in the employee cafeteria.
Yeah, that still goes on.
Take whatever you want. And when you walk up, don't make eye contact with the cashier. Just wave. I got to go.
He leaves us there. He leaves us there. And these are tickets. These are hot tickets. We could get thrown out of there. So we're eating like urchins. So the next day he goes, I'm going to take you to breakfast. I got a really good place to go. Brings us to the same place. He runs out again. So we're sitting there, and it's Christmas. And Joe Cumia goes to me, all right, if anybody asks who we are, we're Tony Torres and the Tritones. And if we have to play, Feliz Navidad is an A.
Yeah,
those are the days.
That was a lot of fun when we first started, because every gig we got was an event. If it was one of my stand-up gigs or if the band was playing, we all went to each other's gigs because it was a big event. I mean, you guys remember drove to Connecticut and we did this four-part harmony thing because we had stage time. I had a gig in Connecticut.
It was the old City Steam.
You guys did four-part harmony at City Steam?
Yeah, we were Adam Ferrara and the Foreskins.
Yeah, how'd that work out while the dishes were clanking out behind the stage?
Oh, it was great because we were in the middle. I wasn't even headlining. I was in the middle. And I had backup singers.
Yeah.
And that's how Adam became a headliner. This guy's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
How come you don't sing harmony when I take you on the road with me, Joe?
I'll learn you the words to Jean Marie, we'll do it.
All right, fine. Next time we go to Michigan in the middle of January, we're doing that.
Yeah.
So now you were, I mean, you made the transition from headlining comedian and television to movie star. What was the key to that? I mean, because so many of us are stuck in the grind where we're not doing that. How'd that happen for you?
I'd like to say it was a master plan, but a lot of it was just dumb luck. I mean, I started in July 13th, 1988. It was my first time on stage at the East Side Comedy Club.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just, we're pounding the pavement. At that point, when I started, everyone figured comedy was cheap to produce. So every bar had a comedy night. So you could sharpen your teeth. Like, I worked a lot in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
For one of the best booking agents I ever had. He's selling real estate now in Florida. But his name was John Shuler. If there was a bad gig...
Wait, he's in Florida now?
Shuler's in Florida? He's still booking City
Shuler's
Steam.
Yeah, in Florida.
I had no idea.
Really?
He's booking it out of Florida, I think, because I saw him when I was at the Improv.
Oh, really?
Nice. But Shuler was the best. He was the best guy because he was so honest. He was like, look, I got this gig. It's a Rocky Hill. It's far away. The audience sucks. There's not a lot of money. You want it? Yeah,
yep.
I'll take it.
Yep.
And anyway, like after I worked for him for a while, he goes, "Can you pick up my check too and send it to me?" So I was a bad man, but I was honest because I gave him everything.
You know what, Adam? You haven't been involved in that type of nitty gritty scene for a while. It still goes on like that.
Yes.
I have collected money for agencies where I am sending them three times as much as I'm making.
You know what I got? Me and him were making the same thing.
Really?
You did well.
Yes.
You did well, Adam. You should be very happy.
And believe me, there was two decimals. It was $75 to close the room, and he gets $75 for booking the room. That was it.
Wow. and we complain about the money now, where it's $200.
Yeah, really.
Of course.
Yeah, but on those gigs, I mean, we would drive. I still had a day job. I was driving to Connecticut, driving back, and then going to work. Just to get the stage time.
Yeah. Well, you know.
So I started in '88, and then I left in '93 because I got a TV deal.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when I say I got a TV deal, you know, everything's the money's come rolling in. It took me from being a poor comic in New York to being a poor comic in L.A. You know, that's pretty much all it did. With a chip on the board to shoot this pilot.
Right.
And so then once you're in the mix, hopefully you get something that hits. But it didn't turn out to be.
Then
I met Leary.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, I met Leary. I had done other stuff. I did like six episodes on this UP. Remember UPN?
Sure.
Yeah.
I was the white guy. So I did six episodes on that. It didn't go.
Wasn't that Adam? Wasn't that the show Adam?
No, that was on ABC.
Right.
And that we shot the pilot that never got picked up.
Mm.
But it was a weird thing because I left. I said, the hell with this. And I went to Hawaii for a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm in Hawaii, I'm reading USA Today, and they aired the pilot.
Mm.
It actually went on TV, but that's all they had. So it was in the summer. I guess they just burned it off. which they I've never heard of anyone doing that.
Really? I like the way you go to Hawaii to get away from it all. I have a bit, you know, if something doesn't go right for me, I go to Bayshore or something like that.
Joe posted his Facebook. I'm going to the beach.
It was my first manager had a house on Kauai, and that's when I realized I am paying way too much in commission.
Yeah, really.
Wow. I just got silent because that really hits home. When you think about what you were doing, going from gig to gig and everything, and that your manager has a house in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, believe me, he had other clients. It wasn't me. I think I paid to cut the lawn.
What, the Olive Garden didn't buy the add-on in that house?
Nah. How much breadstick money you think there is for a guy like me?
I figure there's good money in breadsticks and salad.
So,
but you've had a great career. I mean, all kidding aside, you've had the career most comedians dream of. I read off just a few of your credits before the show, and I've always been a fan of yours. I mean, Joe and I have been friends for a long time. I know he's been your friend, and you've been wildly successful. And I always look at you, I say, you know, he's a good-looking guy, he's funny, he's likable. But, you know, you're talking about all these things. How come you don't think you got the break that, say, a Chris Rock or a Jerry Seinfeld did?
Again, it was what happened. It's the roll of the dice, the people you're with at the time you're at when you get it. Like, I got a TV deal, but I'll be honest with you, I didn't know enough to say no.
Right.
At the time, so I didn't know enough, and, you know, you can always blame it on, oh, well, I had bad management, I had bad this. And, yeah, well, that might be true, but you were still, you know, I was so naive that I just kind of said, well, listen, let me just see what feels right, and you go with your gut, and sometimes you win and sometimes you lose, you know?
So you think if some of these opportunities came your way now, you'd be able to, like, really knock it out of the park?
I think I'd be more equipped to know what the opportunities are and the best way to cash in on them were.
Right.
And so even if the big TV thing when I was a kid didn't work, other things did work. I got to meet a great friend of mine one of my best friends and is Dennis Leary. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just really given me an opportunity to learn and to grow as an actor and writing dramatic monologues for me to do. Mm-hmm. And just to give me that opportunity to throw me the ball and to see how everything works. He's a great leader, Dennis.
Really?
And just to learn, you know, just from being on tour with him and from being in all these TV shows and seeing the way he works, you know, just to observe him. I've learned such a great deal from him.
So this is the last season of the show you do with Dennis, FX's show Rescue Me.
Yeah.
You've been on it for a while. Are you sad to see it go?
Yeah, I mean, it was shot in New York. It was an actor's dream because you get to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
You get to do stupid fall down funny and drama and you know, dead burned up children. You have to react to that and action. You get to fly in on a fire truck and you know, all shot in New York. So, and to be with your friends and to be in that environment with Peter Tolan and Evan Reilly, it was really a great time.
So that role you've really grown from this particular role.
Yeah, it was very nice. What Dennis does, one of the things I've learned is he'll write a character and then he'll see what you bring to it, and you know, it's true of any great character and what you can add to the character, and then you both take from your life and the guy grows. And to be given that opportunity was really great.
I tell you, your acting has been phenomenal on that show. Where I watch that show, and I don't see it as my pal Adam. I see, you know, as Chief Needles. You know, and it's like I was watching one night. I'm like, wow, this guy's real. You know, and I'm like, holy cow, it's, you know, and Dawn, I go, wow, he's doing a great job. Where it transcends, you know.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, if you look real close, Needles has his mole on the left side, and I keep him on the right.
See, that's where the acting comes in. Adam couldn't have done that in the beginning. Now he knows how to move the mole.
Because I said, the mole's on the right. Well, Needles wouldn't keep it there.
get the pen knife. Say that the mole.
This is why he's in Hollywood, and you and I are, you know, ham and egging it the way we do. He knows how to move a mole.
Definitely, he's got a career. We're ham and egging it.
That's pretty much it. But now the final season is on for Rescue Me on Wednesday nights on FX at 10 o'clock. But right now you're working on your newest project, the History Channel's Top Gear, the American version, which is about cars. Have cars always been a passion of yours?
I always liked cars, and I was always it was a way to get close to my father, because anytime my pop had like some free time, he was in the garage working on the car, and I would help work on the car. And when I say work on the car, my job was to hold the light.
Which, from overhearing everything, you couldn't do that very well.
No, and that was the peak of my ability.
Wait a minute. Now, hold on. Let's be fair to Adam. It was from the training of holding the light for his dad that he was able to work the lights for your bands. It paid off.
Actually, the lighting, the lighting to work in a car was fancier.
He had to move the light.
He had to move the light.
Yeah. But that's where, you know, my father would explain, you know, what a car does. Now, that's when I could actually just spend some time with my pop, because he was always working. You know, he was always working because he had three kids and a mortgage, and there was really nobody behind him. There was no trust fund. You know, when he went to get, he told my grandfather, "I'm going to get married." My grandfather goes, "Oh, that's great. Tell us when it is. We'll come." So he was always working, and that's where I got my life lessons. That's where I got to bond with my pop and to learn what kind of man I wanted to be. And I wanted to be the kind of guy he was.
Wow.
And he had that mechanical ability, and it always bothered me that I didn't. You know, I couldn't share that with him. I couldn't come home and say, "Pop, I put a 750 double pumper on it now." He'd really scream. You know, I couldn't share that with him. But when I first did comedy, at Eastside Comedy, he came and he saw the gig, and I went down to his office the next day, and he looked at me with a look I never saw before, and it was like this, holy crap, you know? he said, "This is where you belong."
Oh, that's great.
He goes, "This is where you belong." He goes, "I remember when I went to see some guy play tennis. I knew nothing about tennis, but I knew the way that guy hit the ball. That's what a tennis player looks like. That's how you hit a ball, and this is where you belong." So
that's great.
Yeah, that was a nice moment that I could just get that reaction from my father.
So this show kind of brings it all together. I mean, because you're the comedic relief, but you're the personality on that show, and this is all about cars and everything. So this is kind of like a melding of your passion and his passion, I would guess, right?
Yeah, well, I bring like the everyman's point of view to the show. I mean, Tanner Faust is a race car driver, a stunt driver. He's in the X Games now. Rutledge Wood, who's also very funny on the show, is NASCAR analysis. He works for the Speed Channel. And I'm just a guy that likes cars. And it's pretty much, I was a fan of the UK version. For those of you who don't know, Top Gear is from the UK. It's been on for 17 years, I think.
Wow.
And this is the American version of that show. And we just go on all kinds of adventures with cars, and it's three guys just really being jackasses in a car.
Now, the amazing thing is, one episode I would love you to do is where, before you ever got Top Gear, when you took an 18-foot flatbed truck and turned it into a water pistol and proceeded to terrorize Huntington, New York with the thing.
What an evil laugh that was.
Yeah.
Now you
got to tell them the story, Foot.
We worked at a fence company, and I was the manager there. And I hear from people, "You got to see what Adam's done with the truck." And I'm like, "What has he done?" He flipped the windshield fluid things around, and he's shooting everybody in town. And I go, "I got to nip this in the bud." So I go, "We're going on a delivery." All right. So we get in there, and I go, "I know what you're doing. And, you know, you got to cut it out. But check it out." So we squirt some lady. And I'm like, "This rules." So we're driving around town. There's a woman walking on an overpass of, like, the parkway. Uh-huh. And I'm like, "Squirt that broad." He jumps the truck on the sidewalk, almost has it go over the overpass, squirt. And then, so we get done, and we get back to the shop. And my boss comes downstairs and goes, "Where's Adam?" And I go, "He went out on the road. He had to do another." "Well, it's the cops on the phone." And I go, "Well, what's the matter?" He go, "I see a truck. He sees a water pistol." And I was supposed to stop it. I thought it was fine. I almost got fired on that.
Here's the part I don't understand about that story. Somebody thought that you, Joe, would be the voice of reason.
Yeah, that's the authority figure.
Really? They're sending you down to crack the whip?
You had to see me at the all these guys would go to the deli in the trucks, and there's like 15 trucks hanging out there. And I'm like, "Everybody's got 10 minutes. 10 minutes, get out of here."
Yeah, to Joe's credit, he tried so hard.
Well, Joe tries a lot of things.
Oh, but when Adam and I were together, we used to build storage sheds.
Terrible.
And we go out, and we're building a small 6x8 shed. It takes 2 hours to build this thing. 7 hours at this lady's house.
Oh, goodness.
And it looked like the honeycomb hideout.
It was terrible.
We got that. I think anything Adam and I have ever done comedically, that was the best thing we've ever done.
Well, you know, you guys are prop acts.
Yeah.
So I gotta ask you, Joe touched on your stunts that you were doing before you were getting paid for it. I mean, you were just misspent youth. The perfect training ground for a show like this. Well, on season one, you had a car try to evade an attack helicopter, which is impressive and pretty cool. But let's be honest, doesn't that really pale in trying to get to the Hamptons from the city on a Friday afternoon in less than 3 hours?
We did that too.
Yeah.
How'd you do that? What, did you squirt people again? Got them out of the way?
No, we actually did. We have an upcoming episode called Dream Cars,
uh-huh.
where we buy. We buy these cars at Liberty State Park in New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
and then we have to drive them out to the Hamptons and see if we fit in society. So we buy these really fancy dream cars, but we only have a budget of $3,000. So
can't wait to see what that Pinto looks like all jacked up.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
So I got to ask you, Matt. You've co-starred mm-hmm. in television shows. You've been in major movies. You're a headlining comedian. Outside of a major drug scandal, what's left for you to accomplish in show business?
I don't know. You know what? As long as I get to keep working and keep, I'm real fortunate just to keep working at my art. You know, I get to do what I like for a living. And yeah, it gets to be a pain in the ass sometimes when I hear myself complaining. But then I think about when me, Foot, and Ant were trying to make a living mm-hmm. digging holes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hey, you know what? This ain't so bad.
Well, two out of three of you have moved on.
I know. Yeah, I'm still putting up stockade fence. That's great.
Well, I think the goal is to keep producing and keep making to contribute something I want to say and still have something to say. Mm.
That's a very New York comedy attitude. I mean, that workmanlike effort, like it's so not Hollywood resting on your laurels.
Yeah, it's like you just got to keep. You know, it's like anything else. You're as good as your last show. You're as good as your last at bat. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you just got that. I think that's the drive.
Mm-hmm.
That's the drive in anybody. Well, that's my drive anyway. It's just, yeah, that was good. And it's like, but the downside of that is you can never fully accept or enjoy what you've done
right.
while you're doing it, because you're always like, okay, yeah, it's good, but, you know, there's always a but in there. So I think as you get older, you got to learn to take that in and keep the excitement. That's what keeps the excitement going, by taking it in.
But I think that goes back to kind of what we were talking about a little bit before in the beginning of the interview, where we're always expecting something. Like, this is really good right now. We're always expecting something bad is going to happen. Don't you think? I mean, kind of ties
it down. Well, it's not always. I mean, it depends on how you were raised. I mean, it's more prevalent, I think, on the East Coast.
Yes.
you know, I mean, out here, I mean, I'm in Santa Monica. The house now out here in Santa Monica, you know, everything's made of tofu out here. Every, you know, stop and smell the Prius, you know. It's just
I tell you though, the best thing that I have driving my career is actually you and Ant, because anything I've ever accomplished or I've ever gained doing stand up or, you know, acting or music, it's always not good enough. You guys have been the bar for me for God 15-20 years, and I've always, you know, I never thank you guys for that, but that's what drives me.
Wait, I'm not a motivation for you? A headline in the Chuckle Hut Bar and Grill?
No, far from it.
All right, fine. I won't ask you if you want to come along with me for that show then.
When? I'll go.
See, Adam, that's what you're missing. This is what's going on the other side of comedy right now. So Rescue Me's on. It's final season, seventh season, Wednesday night, 10 p.m. on FX. I know right now you're filming the second season of Top Gear. Do we know when it's supposed to premiere on the History Channel?
It has. It premiered last Sunday.
It's
on Sunday night at 10 o'clock on History. And we did good. We got about a little over 2 million viewers. So
nice.
Everyone's real happy.
It was a great show. They were dumping manure on each other.
They were dumping manure on each other?
Didn't you have manure dumped on you in the cars?
Yeah, well, we took a challenge. We went to Texas to see if we could replace the pickup with small cars. So we had to do everything in small cars that pickups do. So we had to... We had to haul stuff, so I picked a 75 Maverick, and I cut the back of it off and turned it into a pickup, and they loaded it up with about a ton of manure, and I had to deliver it. So, yeah, I'm a big star.
It sounds like what you guys would have done in the island if you guys had more resources.
Yeah, if we had a budget.
Yeah.
You guys could have made this show.
We could have.
Yeah.
We could have.
Then we turned them into monster trucks, and then we went to a monster truck racing, and mine caught on fire. So.
Didn't you steal your grandfather's Cadillac and take it to Riverhead Raceway?
What?
Didn't you take your grandfather's Cadillac or your Cadillac and take it to Riverhead Raceway one time?
We tried to. We never made it out to Riverhead. We tried to drive it out to Riverhead, and it never made it. It was a 70 Coupe de Ville, which was my mother burnt out the back seat with a cigarette.
Yeah.
And rather than fixing it, my father figured out, hey, we can get a length of pipe from the trunk through the front seats. And it became the plumbing truck. So I used to deliver pipe and everything. And we put the tools and everything in, and that was the plumbing truck. And that's the car I learned to drive on. And I always hear my father's voice saying, don't slam on the brakes. The toolbox is going to hit you in the back of the head.
That's a lesson to live by right there.
I don't get, 10 o'clock. 2 o'clock signal. No, I get. Don't slam on the brakes. The toolbox is going to hit you in the back of the head.
Who can argue with that?
No, nobody.
Well, Adam, we actually have to go to break. I want to thank you so much for coming on our show. It's been a pleasure. Like I said, I wish you the best of luck. You're a super talented guy, and if you're a friend of Joe Curry's, I know you're a super good guy.
That's right. And before we let Adam go, he's going to be, if you are a Long Islander, know somebody you're going to plan to be on the island, August 12th and 13th, he will be headlining Governor's Comedy Club. If you'd like to go, you can call him at 516-731-3358 for reservations, and it will be a great weekend.
Definitely go see him. He's one of the best comics out there.
Thank you, fellas. Good to talk to you. And
Rock,
continue success
I love
to
you,
guys.
Pal. Thanks for calling in, man.
Take care, Adam. Thank
you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we got to go to break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with some Britney Spears mayhem. My name is Davin Rosenblatt of the Davin and Cisco Show. Besides being the host of a radio show, I am a professional stand-up comedian and owner of the ever-growing entertainment company Sidesplitting Productions. As a performer, I have appeared on Comedy Central and performed several tours overseas for our troops. As a company, for over a decade, Sidesplitting Productions has been providing the very best in live stand-up comedy, murder mystery shows, DJs, and celebrity impersonators across the nation. Our entertainers are perfect for restaurants, special family events, and making that corporate event or party a stunning success. For a free consultation and quote, call me anytime at 845-986-7806. That's 845-986-7806. Or check us out on the web at sidesplittingproductions.com. That's SIDESPLITTING. PRODUCTIONS.com. SizePuttingProductions.com.
Once a month, an experienced professional from Provident Bank, the Hudson Valley's leading full-service community bank, will answer your most pressing financial questions only here on WTBQ. Tune in the first Wednesday of every month at 8.05 a.m. for Straight Talk from Provident Bank.
Hi, this is Dr. Nick Belasco, host of the St. Anthony Community Hospital Roundtable, heard every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 8 a.m. Tune in to hear about the latest in health news from me and my guests here on WTBQ.
Success Martial Arts, the latest self-defense concept to come to Orange County. They combine classical martial arts training with a family fun environment custom-tailored for children, teens, and adults. Success Martial Arts has two convenient locations, on Route 32 North in the town of Woodbury, and its newest location in the Chester Mall in the village of Chester. Please call today for more information. 845-469-1716 or visit their website at www.smacenters.com.
WTBQ weather.
We'll have a couple of showers and thunderstorms around tonight under mostly cloudy skies. Now looking into tomorrow, an early shower then turning out partly sunny. Rather humid and warm as highs reach the mid-80s, but we'll have to watch out for some strong thunderstorms late in the day. Now more storms Friday night with lows dropping to 65 to 70 and drying out for Saturday with a mostly sunny sky. Highs reach near 90. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Mike Mahalik.
WTBQ.
And we are back. You are listening to Davinson live on WTBQ, 93.5 FM, 1110 AM. If you want to call us for the last couple minutes of the show, number is 845-651-1110. We were just talking to the multi-talented and hysterical Adam Ferrara. A great interview.
My pal.
Joe's pal. Learned a lot about comedy. Just a great guy and everything. He's going to be at Governor's in August, so check that out. But, you know, Adam is one of the biggest stars we've ever had on the air. So we are efforting to get another big star because I think the star is falling rapidly if these allegations are true.
Oh, yes.
Miss Britney Spears.
Yes.
Yes. You want to go through these allegations, or you want me to do it, Joe?
You can go through the allegations, and we'll follow up behind.
These allegations, they were in the New York Post, so you know they're accurate. They are by a security cop who worked as her bodyguard for, I believe, 6 months. So he was in her house, and he alleges that she farts uncontrollably, picks her nose, chain smokes.
Uses meth.
It tried to constantly lure him into her bedroom with sex and was parading around naked. Doesn't wash for days. Basically, he's calling Britney Spears a hobo.
Oh, this guy's so lucky. Oh.
You think so?
Oh, winning a lottery.
Wait. Now, how so? Because he could have hit that, or because of this lawsuit?
Both.
Because the lawsuit, I didn't touch on it. The lawsuit is he's alleging sexual harassment. He said he couldn't take it no more, and he's alleging sexual harassment.
He couldn't take it no more?
He couldn't take it. It was my little Popeye right there.
He couldn't take it no more.
Yeah, that was a better Popeye right there. I mean, so how did he hit the jackpot, Joe?
Britney Spears just walking around in a bathrobe. All right, dirty.
So then it doesn't matter how disgusting the woman's personal hygiene is.
Yes, you can overlook that. It's Britney Spears.
Now, let me ask you, is it because she's hot, we'll
yes.
say?
Yes!
Okay, so she could be a nobody and hot and doing all that.
Look, if it was Suzanne Boyle, I would run like hell, but it's a Britney Spears.
See, man, I don't know. I've been going back and forth on this.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, these allegations are so... I mean, she's chain-smoking. She's not washing for days.
Yeah.
She's farting left and right.
Yeah.
I could date you if I wanted something like that.
Really? You think I look as good as Britney?
I don't know, but the personal hygiene is pretty close.
I'll put my Daisy Dukes on right now.
Listen,
You'll see.
I've already shared a Motel 6 with you. Oh, here comes Joe sauntering in with his little Catholic schoolgirl outfit.
No, I tried.
I got to be honest with you. I feel bad for Britney Spears, and I'll tell you why I feel bad for Britney Spears. Because let's say all these allegations are true.
Right.
She's in her house. She's not doing this out in public.
Right.
You know, she's not going to the Grammys and like, hey, you know, here's my new song, and then like cutting the cheese or anything. She's in her house. I mean, listen, we're all a lot more piggish in our own house.
Yeah.
So, I mean, isn't he violating her trust?
Yeah, I mean, he could walk around and do whatever she wants in there. He was hiring her.
He was hiring her?
I mean, she was hiring him, yeah.
So you agree, Britney's been violated?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were gonna take the other side of that.
Oh, sorry. No, but it's, you know, he's trying to get, you know, this $10 million for harassment. This is like a dream date here.
I mean, and he stuck around for 6 months. I mean, if this was so terrible, why is he sticking around for 6 months?
Yeah, because he's trying to make a quick buck off of her.
I think Britney Spears is held to a higher standard than a lot of celebrities are.
Did you just say higher standard?
Did I? That was my impression of Voss.
Higher standard.
That was my impression of Rich Voss.
Yes, maybe she's held in a higher standard.
Really?
Yeah.
Did I? Okay.
Yeah.
Usually you're stammering, so I guess I slurred a little bit there.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad you brought the show down to a grinding halt for that.
Sorry. Yeah, she's mentally unstable and personally obnoxious.
But who amongst us isn't?
Yeah. She demanded that underlings address her for no rational reason as Jennifer or Queen Bee.
Well, everybody likes bugs. I mean,
I know. Where did they get Jennifer from?
Jennifer? Is that her middle name?
I don't know.
Rich doesn't know.
Rich doesn't.
Listen, I got to give Rich credit. Unlike Frank, Rich is actually paying attention to the damn show. So, you know, I'm very happy with Rich's performance today. But no, what I meant by being held to a different, higher standard, like I said, if all these things are true, which I'm not convinced they are, she was doing this in her own house. And then I listen to Howard Stern on the radio sometimes. Howard Stern will burp unapologetically into the microphone during his radio show. I don't really think there's much entertainment value in a burp. If there was, I'd do 50 minutes of burps. I'd probably have a lot of sponsors that way, too. But nobody comes... No, no, we got Joe's giving me direction. It looked like he was finger banging somebody. Hey, Rich, let that one go. Good. That was a little test there. No, I know the time. Don't worry. We got time for everything. We got,
okay, all right, all right. Well, that was professional.
Yeah, Davin screwed it up, stupid. As Joe's trying to give directions.
As Joe moves his chair closer up to the microphone to get a better spot, Davin will continue with this spirited entertainment.
Tell you what, nobody stops a show like you.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, like, have you ever heard anybody come down on Howard Stern?
No.
I mean, do you think that she's being held to a different standard?
Yeah, she's being held to a different standard because she's like this pop goddess, and everybody thinks that she walks around like a pop goddess, you know. And she, from what he said, did not bathe for days on end. I mean, you got to take a bath.
Maybe you don't.
I guess not.
Well, you know what? There was another group of ladies that heard this story. And they sent in a song parody for us. It's by the Parody Princesses, and the song is called "Oops, I Dealt It Again."
I think I dealt it again. I made you heave when I showed my rear end. Oh, baby, it might seem like a rash, but it doesn't mean that I don't have gas. 'Cause to abuse all thy senses, that is just so typically me. Oh, baby, baby, oops, I dealt it again. I played with your heart, got lost in the flames. Oh, baby, baby, oops, you think I'm a stud when I bent you so far. I'm a little incontinent. You see, my problem is this. I wanna get laid. Passed around from bro to bro, I smell like this. I haven't washed in days. Can't you see I reek of stool in so many ways? I abuse all my senses. That is just so typically me. Baby, oh, oops, I dealt it again. I played with your heart, got lost in the flames. Oh, baby, baby, oops, you think I'm a stud when I bent you so far. I'm a little incontinent.
The Parody Princesses.
Yes, give it up for the Parody Princesses.
Very well done, Parody Princesses. That was that was good and disgusting. Yeah. And now I dare anybody to ever listen to Oops, I Did It Again and not think of Fuzz and Scuzz. I'm a little incontinent. One more time for the Parody Princesses.
Yay! Yay!
So, Joe, we's getting to the ends over here. Yeah. So, where are you going to be this week?
I'm going to be myself at Governor's Comedy Club this weekend. I'm doing a show tomorrow at 9. I will be doing two shows, 7:30 at 10. If you live on the island and want to come out to the island and see me, it is 516-731-3358 for reservations.
Very nice. Go check out Joe. Joe Padula from Afghanistan just checked in a little late to the show. He said, yeah, I got about 20 American Hero soldiers listening tonight, so thanks for the Dealt It Again song. Yeah, go fight some Taliban and with that in your head.
Thank you guys for listening, and thanks for your service.
We gave you guys a shout out earlier, man. Thank you guys. Stay safe, and if you guys want any parodies, just request them. That's what we do over here.
That's right.
I'd like to specially thank Success Martial Arts for sponsoring us this week. Actually, next week, my daughter starts to become a little dragon.
A little dragon?
A little dragon.
A little dragon.
So she can personally kick my butt. I broke wood in here, and, you know, Brittany's broken cheese in here and cats in here. I'm a little scared, Joe. I'm a little scared that she's going to be able to, my 4.5-year-old's going to be able to kick my butt.
She's going to be destroying the furniture, karate chopping all the end tables.
You know what? If Joe Padula was a little bit more useful, he would have told me some techniques to defend myself. But no, he just wanted to tell us important and interesting things. He didn't tell me how to protect myself from a 4.5-year-old, yeah. Joe. You didn't leave your M16 behind, did you, mister?
Sorry.
So I'm on my own. So we got that coming up. So we got a big show next week. I'm going to, well, I think it's going to be a big show. I'm going to see Motley Crue and Poison.
this weekend.
Good, good.
So I think
Motley Crue.
I think we're going to talk. This going to be my third time seeing Poison.
Mm.
Second time seeing Motley Crue. The first time I saw Motley Crue, I was with my wife. They were with Aerosmith, and my wife was pregnant. And she said, I don't... She doesn't talk like an old Jewish woman. She said, I don't like this Vince Neil. He curses too much.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen...
Listen, guys, thank you guys for listening. If you love us, tell a friend. If you hate us, don't you tell anyone. But either way, you keep on listening. Thank you, guys.
Take care.